Last point, satisfaction of students. I don't see the students as customers. They are not customers. I'm responsible for their education. They are partner in the educational process together with faculty and management. And we have an ongoing continuation discussions. I think that the majority are quite satisfied with the process. And I can give you figures if it interests you.
Welcome to 20 Minute Leaders. Just sit back, relax, and learn from the leaders of today. It's a journey. Each one is different, unique, inspiring. Let's get started. 20 Minute Leaders is a proud supporter of Make-A-Wish Israel and Tech to Peace, and is in proud collaboration with Secret Chord Ventures, J Ventures, Riverside FM, Fusion VC, Birthright Excel, J Impact, Leap, Google for Startups, and Hippo, and in media partnership with CTech. Hello and welcome to another episode of 20 Minute Leaders. I am especially excited for this one with Professor Ami Moyal, the president of Afeka Tel Aviv Academic College of Engineering. Professor Ami Moyal has been president of Afeka Tel Aviv Academic College of Engineering since 2014. Before joining Afeka, Professor Moyal was active in the speech processing high-tech industry for 15 years and held positions as VP Technology Dev, Vice President Business Dev, and CEO of NSC Natural Speech Communication Ltd. Welcome, Ami. Professor Ami Moyal, thank you so much for joining me today at 20 Minute Leaders. How are you?
Fine, thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
We're going to have such an awesome conversation because you're embodying really the reason why I'm doing this show under sort of that overarching theme of curiosity, passion, and following what you really need to be doing because you're on a mission. And right before we started this, you already left me with a sense of inspiration that you're on your own mission and you're very much convicted about it. So I'm excited to sort of unravel it from being a CEO of a tech company to going into public service with education. Today, the president of the College of Engineering within Afeka. So a lot to uncover, Ami, but let's start high level about sort of your own mission. What is sort of your purpose right now? What are you doing?
First of all, again, thank you for inviting me to talk with you about my passion, and I'm using a lot of this word. The main strategic point of my work today, my mission actually, it's not only a work, and I must say I also enjoy it, so it covers a lot of my wishes. I'm implementing a major change in engineering education. As a whole, I think that the whole education continuum from kindergarten to the academia must change. We are not adapting the education continuum to the new world, to the changes in all aspects of life. So my main focus today, actually, I'm leading a process in the last 5 years of changing the educational process of engineers to follow two main aspects. One is industry needs. The high tech in Israel needs a different type of engineers, not only knowledge, an emphasis on skills like self-learning, critical thinking, teamwork, effective communication skills, written and spoken. And that's the output. In the input, the students of today are learning differently. I want them to learn with passion and curiosity, so we need to change the frontal lecture to something that encourages curiosity and is more hands-on. So the input is different, the output is different. We must adapt the educational process, and this is what we are doing. And if you want, I can elaborate more about the nature of the change itself.
So we're definitely going to go there. But before that, I just want to give context a little bit to you and how you got to become passionate about this from being in the tech sector and an engineer yourself previously from the army, but going now to, you know, being a CEO of a tech company. What made you even start thinking about education as an interesting avenue for you to explore as a career journey?
First of all, I think that I was an education person from the beginning, even from the army 30 years ago. I was teaching in the army itself. I was a guy for technical for technical people, and I enjoyed very much at the university. I was teaching always in addition to research. So I think that after the age of 40, I really discovered what I want to do in life, but I brought all the experience I gained. I was the CEO of a high-tech company, so I gained a lot of managerial experience. I understand very much in technology. And then I shaped my view on how engineers, on the profile of the required engineers. So all three together, it was quite natural to me, and it came from my stomach, not from my head, a little by little, taking me to the place that I'm today. And you can hear from my tone of speech, I'm quite happy about what I'm doing.
But you didn't go straight into College of Engineering. You started looking at sort of diversity and inclusion and allowing underrepresented populations to have equal access to education. So that also is a little bit different than the traditional sort of education path that most people go on.
Yeah. You know, I'm looking at Israel on a national level, and I see that the high-tech industry is now reaching to 10% of the workforce. And when you look at the 10% of the workforce, more than 80% of it are located physically in Tel Aviv by engineers that are coming from the center. And this is something that I'm very interested in. There are Arabs, women, periphery that are not playing in the game of the high tech in the sense of social mobility. And this is something that is interesting me for many years. And you're right, I had a position of a chairman of ISEF, Israeli Educational Foundation, that raised money in the States and gives scholarships to students in periphery in order to use academic degree as a basis for social mobility. So the whole aspect of high tech education and social mobility is more on a broad view on a national level. These are the topics that interest me. And we are doing the same here at EFECA. Students from all around the country. If students from all around the country are coming to EFECA, although we are located in Tel Aviv, we have students from the north, south, Jerusalem. Another aspect, any students will learn at EFECA. Even if there is a lack of finance to pay tuition, we are organizing scholarship. This is a statement that I give to all my management. There'll be no situation that a student is accepted with high level of grades and will have no finance to finance his tuition. Secondly, we are working with teenagers in high school. Before choosing the matriculation path at the age of 14, we are bringing thousands of pupils from all around the country, specific emphasis on periphery, to visit EFECA to see the science, technology, and engineering might be interesting. And if it really interests them, they should pursue their passion. They should learn engineering whenever they want. It's not mandatory that they'll come to EFECA. They can go to any academic institute that they want. It's more of an exposure to periphery to understand that science and technology might be interesting. And it is indeed interesting, but I understand that the society should have lecturers and poems and writers. You should pursue your passion. But if you like it, nobody should tell you that you cannot do it. Believe in yourself and push it. Work hard. This is my incredible main conclusion for my career.
I love it. So let's talk a little bit about passion and curiosity for learning and how you as an educator now perceive that. And how do you sort of guide, you know, lecturers and professors to try and sort of capture that curiosity and passion by students? We started talking about a little bit earlier. I'd like to go back to that.
Yeah. First of all, the underlying assumption of the whole discussion is that you can be excellent only in things that you enjoy to do. If you are not enjoying something, you will not be excellent because you are obliged to. That's one. That's the underlying thesis of everything. Meaning, we need to build engines of change for the students to discover their passion and their curiosity. Once we have their passion, their energy, their curiosity, they will be excellent. Because in an academic institute and in general in any educational system, the self-learning of the students or the people, that's the key feature. We can give lectures, we can give them platform, but if they don't have an internal energy to pursue based on curiosity, the learning process, we can do nothing. So you can be excellent only if you enjoy the process. And now it is our duty to build an enjoyable process. This new generation doesn't like and don't learn by sitting in class for 8 hours. They are sleeping after 15 minutes. That means that we need to change pedagogy to be interesting for them to be awake, working with energy. So in the last 5 years, we have implemented dozens of courses in a different pedagogy. And I'll give you examples for you to see. For example, we have a course that I like very much, Principle of Sailing. Engineering school, principle of sailing, you learn electronics, you learn mechanics, you learn green energy. At the end of the course, we hire 10 or 12 small yachts that the students in groups of four are sailing. Teamwork, excitement, handling with pressure, and a lot of joy. So this is an example of hands-on course with a lot of joy. We got another course and another, we got dozens of courses, but I'll give you another example. We have a course of renewable energies. The course is performed at the southern part of Israel at Kibbutz Eilot, where they have PV, photovoltaic farms, and the students are sleeping for a week with their lecturers at the kibbutz, eating there, sleeping there, learning the full day. So we are implementing various methods of hands-on. We are learning outside of class, in going to hospitals, going to the industry, trying to give an experience of hands-on rather than sitting in class and listening for lecture. So it's a mixture of frontal teaching together with hands-on, and many, many courses are starting by a half an hour, the introduction by the lecturers, and then divided to groups, putting projects on the table, dividing to teams, and they are arguing, practicing teamwork, self-learning, discussion, presentation, and then they are presenting their projects. But we believe that every lecturer should know what's the best pedagogy for his course. There's no one leading pedagogy. It can be flipped classes when you read papers in English at home and discuss at class. It can be projects, it can be outside. We built engines of change to support our faculty to implement their passion. So it's my passion, the faculty passion, the management passion, and the student passion. If we all work with passion, we are going to be definitely what I believe the best engineering college in Israel.
Wow. How do you do that at scale? So how do you, you know, it sounds like each of these courses is very difficult. And I think you started mentioning that you're sort of creating agents of change and you're giving autonomy and agency to lecturers to take their passion and translate that to actionable actions, right? To allow students to experience it hands-on. As a leader yourself, how do you create those agents of change? What do you need to do to sort of change that mindset?
First of all, organizations and people are reluctant to implement change. Reluctant.
Right.
Organizations are implementing changes only if there is an imminent threat on the organization. That's the classical of management. So the first stage, about 6 years ago, I put on the table a strategic mission. The world is changing. We must adapt. We should do it now, not waiting for the world to press us. And then I convinced the organization. Secondly, we went to define, and that was a major change. There was a question on the table asking all my management, what is the profile of an engineer that is graduating a FECA that if you will see all the skills, you'll be happy with yourself that you did an excellent education system. And we defined all together, it took us a year, what is the ultimate profile of a graduate of FECA? Scientific knowledge, engineering knowledge, personal skills, self-learning, teamwork, engineering skills, languages, English, Hebrew, software, three languages every engineer must know, ethical values, and broad knowledge. You cannot be only an engineer that is focused on math. You must be aware of the global world. So once we all agreed on the graduate profile, actually I'm taking an educational process and defining the output. I'm an engineer. I'm a manager. I define the output together with my management. At that point, once we reach the agreement of what is the output, the required output, our work was much easier because there was a common agreement what should be the output. And then the whole organization targeted all activities towards the output. And then we began to build, by my leading, engines of change. A center to promote learning, working with the students, how to change your learning. A center for promoting teaching, working personally with the teacher. When you are implementing a major change, you need to communicate always, mainly case studies. So internal communication unit, etc., etc., etc. We had 2 years, not easy at all. But the last 3 years, the engines of change are working and I see the change. And I believe that the change will continue because the world around us is changing so fast. Organization cannot permit to himself to stay at a certain point. You need to change constantly. The constant change will become the new normal. That's very difficult in the academia. In high tech, everybody will understand me. In academia, that hasn't changed 1,000 years. My words 5-6 years ago sounds like somebody that is coming from another world. But we did it. We are there.
How do you know what's working and what's not working? So in tech, very easy, short feedback loops, short feedback cycles, the market responds. In academia, working with students, looking at something a little bit more subjective like passion and curiosity, how do you measure that? How do you measure a success of programs like the ones that you're mentioning here?
Okay. There are various levels of estimation. When you implement such a change, once you implement it, you want to define a measure and measure yourself on a yearly basis. The ultimate measure is the industry. Remember, we are educating engineers for the industry. The main measure is if the industry is hiring our graduate, if they are satisfied with them and they are paying a proper salary, and if they are working in the high-level positions, meaning are they accepted to the R&D of the high tech. And just a month ago, we have completed quite a large survey. You know, from our discussion, you can understand that I'm measuring everything. Everything is measured at FECA. Just for data to continue discussions, not as a strict measurement of management, as a celebration of data to continue our next path. Because nobody knows, at least I don't know, where higher education is leading, where the education system would be in 10 years. We must move forward, measure, adapt. Move forward, measure, adapt. This is how I'm leading the organization in the uncertainty around. So the main measure is the industry. If they hire, yes, they hire. 97% of our graduates are hired. I have a major problem. They are working before they complete the studies. It's a problem because there is a need of engineers in the high tech. They take them at the second or third year, and that's not very good because engineering studies are very difficult. You need to work at least for the full time. You need to study full time at the first 3 years. And nice positions, R&D, various types of positions. Many of them continue to master degree in various institutes. From the position of the output, that's the main measure. But we also want to measure the progress in skills during the process. So I nominated now a team this is something that is not so well known in the world. It's very hard to estimate or to measure or to evaluate the skills. So we have a group and we are trying a solution by solution, doing pilots to see how we can evaluate teamwork, self-learning, effective communication. Last point, satisfaction of students. I don't see the students as customers. They are not customers. I'm responsible for their education. They are partner in the educational process together with faculty and management. And we have an ongoing continuation discussions. I think that the majority are quite satisfied with the process. And I can give you figures if it interests you. 8 years ago, we were able to accept 450 new students a year. And we had about 600 applications. Last year, we doubled the number. We are growing. We can accept 750 new students a year. We have 12,000 applications. So there is a demand from the side of the market, and there is a demand from the side of the applicants. These are the two main factors that lead us to make the change.
Incredible. I mean, such an inspiring, not just your career, but the way that you're thinking about sort of your an agent of change and your own mission, and looking at the students as partners, and understanding at the end what it comes down to, this fundamental understanding that when people truly enjoy, are passionate, and are curious about what they do, then they strive for excellency. Really sounds like that's what pretty much you're embodying with the Fegaz College of Engineering. So thank you very, very much for the time and for the effort and for joining me on 20 Minute Leaders. I appreciate it.
Thank you. It was my pleasure.
Thank you very much.